This Rush Hour catch-up podcast is built tough, like the new look Mazda BT50. For the school pickup, for the early run home, for the still stuck at work, welcome. This is the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete. Perth's Mix 94.5.
Truffle Kerfuffle is on its way. Fonty's Pool in Manjima. More details at trufflekerfuffle.com.au. It's happening the 22nd to the 24th. Well represented as far as chefs go right around the world as well as Australia. And we're joined now by one of our favourites, Mark Best. What a pleasure, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank
well
you.
Represented is an understatement, actually.
By the best.
Guy Grossi, Mark Best, Sam Aisman. It's just incredible. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that part of the world, God's country, they say.
It certainly is God's country. Now, we need to speak to you about something in particular. As we move away from God's country for a moment and on a ship sailing the seas, mate, we had the pleasure while we were on our cruise earlier this year to eat at your Mark Best restaurant on the Genting Dream. And far out, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
How many pinos at the Truffle Kerfuffle is it going to take me to get the pumpkin soup recipe out of you?
Not many. I'm an easy mark. Don't worry.
Yeah, well done on that. It is an amazing place to eat there.
It's quite beautiful. And, you know, you sit in there and you don't even really realise you're at sea. And that was the aim from the get-out. You know, it's use all beautiful Australian products and Australian Wagyu beef and marin and lobsters and oysters. And glad you enjoyed it.
I love that you describe your approach to food as wanting to produce Australia to a point of celebration and unnatural expression.
Yeah, it's a little wordy, but I think that was a reaction to chefs saying that they did little or nothing, just let the produce speak for itself. And I think in my experience, if you did little or nothing, you ended up with little or nothing.
Yeah.
We have to cook, otherwise, you know, everyone could just shop and then where would the point in that be? So, you know, yes, we have to unlock the secrets of the ingredients. So that's what that's about.
And I think that that's a perfect segue into all the things that you can do with truffles, because if you'd, if you hadn't sort of looked outside the box, there's a lot of stuff that we wouldn't be doing with truffles that are amazing.
That is a very good segue, because there's a lot you can do more than just shave them on top of stuff. Most people do it, and they're incredibly versatile. And say in my case, I'm going to be serving a caramelized pineapple dessert with Szechuan pepper. And on top of that, we're putting a very decadent black truffle ice cream. And I can tell you, it just is one of those things that just came together, and it's just incredible.
You had me at caramelized.
Oh, yeah. Is it a lot of mucking around in the kitchen to be able to take ingredients like pineapple and Szechuan and turn it into a dessert?
It just doesn't come instantly. It's not like a blinding flash. I mean, it can be, but behind that is years of experience and working with ingredients, and you just develop this palate memory. I guess it's like being a musician playing for decades, and there's that little subtle grace notes that come when you have that experience that make things, you know, truly beautiful.
Oh, listen to the way that you talk about that. Far out, goosebumps. Hey, Mark, got to ask you one question before we let you go. We've been so blessed to be speaking to so many chefs and celebrity chefs over the past few weeks to be able to ask this question. What is your favourite part of the chicken, Mark Best?
Favourite part of the chicken? That's a good one. Well, the chef's cut for a chicken for me is probably either the parson's nose or that little oyster around the thigh. That's always the bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having said that, don't tell anyone I could actually eat the crisp skin of the whole chicken. So that's my favorite bit,
Ripper. Mark, it's been a pleasure, mate. We look forward to seeing you. Truffle Kerfuffle.
Yeah, you too.
Fonty's Pool in Manjima, 22nd to the 24th of June. More details at trufflekerfuffle.com.au. All the best, mate.
Great. Can't wait. Thank you.
It's the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
What have you been cooking up?
I don't know if millennials even know what classic rock is. What are you? Are you a Gen Y?
You're a Gen what? Next?
Gen X.
Gen X. Yeah. I always thought I was a Gen X. But if I watch a TV show, apparently I'm a Gen Y. I'm right on the cusp, but I've got to be honest. I'm 77.
You're Gen Y.
So I am Gen Y.
I think so.
My whole life I've thought of Gen X until about 6 months ago.
I'm not sure. Anyway, neither of us are millennials. Let's get that.
That's the point.
Yeah, we're not millennials. But we've come across this great list on Twitter that Twitter users have concocted. If millennials were to rename a number of classic rock tunes, what would they come up with?
Before you get into these, by the way,
yes,
I thought, because I got into the, I only got here 2:30 this afternoon, I thought you had written these.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't realise.
Oh my God, I could have owned them as well. Yeah,
we've cut and pasted them.
Wouldn't be the first time. So the first one they would rename would be Welcome to the Airbnb California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely face. Well done.
What about this one? Love Me Tinder.
Love Me Tinder.
I want to sing it. It makes me want to sing it, but I'm not going
you
to.
You may.
No, I'm not
Please
going to.
Please be our guest. Take on me. Take on me from Aha. That's a classic. Or Every Little Thing She Does is Offensive. Very millennial.
The millennial right now, if there's one in a car listening to us, they're just going, oh, yes. These songs are spot on. I can't even fight this feeling. Can I say this is in my top three off the list. Vaping in the boys' room.
Vaping in the boys' room. This would be very millennial. We will block you. Bae, I love your way.
Ooh, baby, I love your way. Every day, yeah, yeah.
You just have to hold the bae a bit longer.
That's B-A-E. Yeah. What else is there?
How does this one grab you? In the air fortnight.
Oh, that's very timely.
It's topical, isn't it?
In the air fortnight. And this one to wrap
Bring us home.
Everybody's twerking for the weekend.
Hey.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
The Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
So Bruce Springsteen went off script during his Broadway stage show last night, for which he recently won a Tony Award. Mm-hmm. He went off script to condemn Donald Trump for separating children from their parents at the southern US border. This is all over the news this week. He told the audience that after playing pretty much the same set every night for 146 shows, he was going off script to play The Ghost of Tom Joad, a 1995 protest song that is not part of the Broadway set list.
Well, the highway is alive tonight. Nobody's kidding nobody about where it goes. I'm sitting down here in the campfire line, searching for the ghost of Tom Joad.
Wow.
Anyone else get chills? That's amazing. Incidentally, President Trump signed an executive order this morning reversing his administration's policy of separating migrant children from their parents in families attempting to cross the border, albeit while putting some serious Trump spin on the move.
This has been going on for 60 years. 60 years. Nobody's taken care of it. Nobody's had the political courage to take care of it, but we're going to take care of it.
He's priceless, isn't he?
So he's the one who, he said 60 years, but it's not. He started
it. No, and now he's saying, we're going to fix it. I fixed it. You're all going to be very happy. It's me. I'm the hero.
Unbelievable.
He's absolutely priceless. Speaking of Broadway shows, headed to Broadway in New York, a Michael Jackson musical. Auditions are being held now. The producer needs six different actors who all look kind of like Michael, but they all have to have different notions. I'm sorry. During an appearance on the latest episode of Jimmy Kimmel's Tonight Show, Saturday Night Live, comedian Pete Davidson confirmed what everybody already knew. He and Ariana Grande are engaged after just a few weeks of dating.
Now, you know that you didn't have to get engaged to Ariana Grande to come on our show. You know we love her so much.
Yeah,
I love you, too.
I feel like I won a contest.
It's so funny walking down the street because, like, dudes are walking by and they're like, some dude came up to me and was like, yo, man, you, like, gave me hope.
That's
suggesting he's batting above his.
I was going to say, well, that's the only reason for locking it down that quickly.
Maybe. And they've only been seeing each other for about 4 weeks.
That's scary. You know how it's going to end.
I suppose, you know, stranger things have happened. In other news today, Michael Fassbender is quitting Hollywood to become a race car driver. I think that's fabulous because his name is more suited to a race car driver, don't you think? A Fassbender.
Could he get any more manly, though?
No, probably not. Ewan McGregor has been confirmed for a sequel to the movie The Shining.
Oh.
One of the scariest movies ever. And Beyonce wore a $10,000 dress to renew her wedding vows with Jay-Z in Wales. And people are making a big deal about this, but come on. That's like you or me wearing best or less.
It's pretty low-key. It is, isn't it?
With you from 3 p.m. weekdays. It's the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete on Perth's Mix 94.5. The Rush Hour catch-up podcast was built tough, like the new look Mazda BT50.